No, thank you.
Well, that's a clear.
Did I give people the second sheet last week?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then if you already have it,
you're good.
I'm good.
This is good. For you.
Check in.
Please, next one down for whoever Lidan is going to be sitting, I guess. And by that, I mean, now I don't have one. So let me grab that back, and then I'll make a photocopy.
I think this issue doesn't have one.
Oh, maybe he was here last week. Yeah, I don't remember.
We'll see.
Okay.
I don't think I have the Rav Dessa.
No,
sure.
Oh, yeah, well, there's
okay. Okay. Okay, so we'll start here. I know it's high. We probably need another today and maybe one more, and then we can look at some practical things. But just the recap from last week is we're looking at Anochius, Yeshus, Anines, and the fact that, like it or not, we're created with the perception that we are completely separate identities. And when you have that experience, you live your life a certain way. And life is the opportunity to move in one direction or the other. You either become more self-identified or you start identifying more with something bigger. The first place we see an expansion of self is in, like if we actually did this practically, is in family. Right, people who, when you identify with your family, like it's not just you. You have your nuclear, you know, network of whoever's living in your home, right? Your parents, your siblings, and there's a part of you that sees them as you. Like I stand up for my family. Like this is part of me, right? Bigger than that's community, right? And then beyond that, hopefully, on some level, people feel connected to the klal, right? That's one of the reasons why when you are in a position of being mashpia, if you're doing it the right way, you're expanding yourself to not just seeing you, you're seeing others. That's what happens when we get married. That's what happens whenever you diminish your ego to be part of a bigger collective, right? You're doing this work to some degree, right? The greatest work, obviously, is when you diminish yourself to the Bria and to the source of all that, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's this idea of bittul, right? Where like, say, this isn't the real thing. The real thing is really the expanded part of who I am. Okay? That's a big, lofty goal to move in that direction. But it happens in different phases in one's life if that's what one chooses, right? Meaning you could go through your life and you don't relate to your family and you don't relate to community and it's all about you and your visions and your dreams and you're this and you're that and you wipe everybody out and you look kind of like a Steve Jobs and people are like, I hate you because you hate everybody. And though you created some really beautiful things in this world, right? But the relationships weren't all that great because it was so unifocused, right? About this is what I'm doing, right? So you can do great things in this world and have a really big ego. Back to the conversation that we had last time. You can do great things, but it will have consequences because that's the way that you decided to live your life. So let's look at this piece in Rav Volbi. And then we'll look at this other piece in Rav Dessler, which may be a drop premature, but I thought it's nice to just put this on the table for us as we kind of move forward, Lamaisa. So the other word we're going to see for this, and this is probably the most classic word you're going to see everywhere, is gaiva, right? Now, it's not true. It's not just gaiva. I mean, it includes all the bad midos, like we saw in last week. But that's where you're going to see a lot of the Torah on this concept surrounding gaiva. Achas hamidos shemastiros es ha'emuna. One of the midos that covers up emuna. For context, what he means when he says emuna here is the feeling of connection to Hashem. That's what he says it about 10 times in this piece that he's working on. That emuna is the hargashas kirvas elokim. Hargashas kirvas elokim, what he's speaking about is like dveikos to Hashem. And you're going to see it all over the place, that the real definition of emuna is dveikos. It's not an idea of God, not something conceptual, but it's actually the experience of knowing that there's more to life than just what you see on the surface. So he says, one of the midas that covers up this ability to experience that deeper reality, but ofen miyuchad, right? Pretty specifically, he midas hagaiva. It's the midah of arrogance. Hagaiva hi koach ikari ba'adam, what is gaiva? So now he's taking, this is exactly what you want from him. He's saying gaiva isn't just this feeling of, oh, I'm so great. It's fundamental to your reality. It's a koach ikari ba'adam, hargashas hayeshus. It is the feeling of independent being, separateness, I amness. Hamizgai omer la'atzmo, one who has gaiva mentally says to himself, or lives with the perspective that kol ma shesvivi shayichli, everything around me is about me. Va'ani bailim alav, and I am in control, or I should be in control, right? Everything's about me, and it's about my ability to control, manipulate life. Kishayeled maschil aleches, when a kid starts to learn how to walk, he can already start to experience and discern his independent reality. And that, there, I don't know if it does take till walking, but that is true. Meaning, there comes a point, I don't know exactly how long it is from a child's development, where in the beginning, they taka see everything as, they don't discern themselves from their environment. There's no discernment happening at all. It's just a weird floating through life, right? And then at some point they start to wake up, and when they start talking, then the first time they say like mine and I, and like, then there's like this like really powerful expressive separateness. Like, I'm me. In the beginning, it's not that way. In the beginning, there still is a looser experience of separateness. Of like, it's almost like they're on this weird trip, and everything's happening. And just wow all the time. And then the more they develop, then they start having this thing called, there's a me and there's a you, and I don't like what you're doing. I like what I'm doing. And
I think it's called the mirror phase.
I think so. You tell me, I don't know the child psychology on this, but I know it's true from having them.
Yeah.
There is this point where like, and now they're a person. Right. Now they're separate.
That's exactly how it sounds. Like this whole, they experience themselves with everything around them, and then they seem, it's in a mirror, and they're just like, wait, what? That's me. I thought it was everything.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And to the point before, everything until they realize that they're separate is achar ba'achar.
Mm.
Yeah, and then they have a separate reality. It's a nesira, and then they have to go through that until, okay, phases. Okay, hu chashe hu apoel, he experiences himself as the doer, hu hayotzer, he's the creator. V'kol ma shesvivo mityaches alav, and everything that happens is about you. Es kol ha'olam hu roa derech hamishkafayim shelo. You see the whole world through your lenses, through your glasses. You don't see anything as happening separate from that. Ketzad hakol miskasher elav ulatovaso. Everything has to work out for me, and everything is happening because of me, for me. That's it. Parenthetically, there's an element of truth to this. The problem is that when you a higher elevated consciousness knows that, yes, everything's happening for your good, and it's all happening for you, and your life experience is happening for you, and it's also happening for everyone else around you. Meaning, there's for you, and then there's only for you. Hmm. And he's speaking about it's life is only about me, right? The way I would say it is that an ego feels, I'm first. A person who's connected to their neshama feels, nobody second.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's very different because there's still an element of I'm first in that, but it's that we all are. Meaning there's a collective. We're all part of something bigger. So it's very nuanced. It can look like, they can look the same, because sometimes you make a decision and the decision will look like, hey, you're being selfish, you're taking care of yourself. The answer is yes, I am. And sometimes it's for the reason, and it's sourcing from a more elevated state, and sometimes it's sourcing from a very low state of like, yes, I take care of myself, and why should I care about you, right? Okay, this will be explained. Bad bebad im hit pachtuso, right along with bad bebad, in step with one's development, gam koach ze mitchazek etzlo. As one gets older, this experience gets stronger. Unless you stop it. Be'ikvus kach, and because of it, notzar koshi, it creates a challenge, lachush, to experience as a kesher ima borei yisbarach, your relationship to God, right?
When he says older, does he mean like not until adolescence? What he means like 60, 70, 80?
You have two types of people who get older. You have people who get
grumpy
and brittle, frustrated. You have people who get light and wise and kind. That's it. Did you get the memo? Is basically God's question throughout life. And you see, the thing is, if you're already in this room and you're listening to this class, whether it's us at the table or someone listening to this recording, you're already awake. We don't always know we're awake, right? Meaning it's like there is complete asleep, this complete investment in that reality of an egocentric reality. And then there's already, I realize there's more to the world, there's more to life, there's more to me. So the fact that we're even sitting here means that we're not on that bottom end, which means we're moving in that direction, which I hope that means that when we're all older, we're not, you know, grumpy old men, right? But if you don't get that memo, right, or you keep pushing it away, or whatever it is, so life does unfold differently. And so with this, it's a schus. You have to realize you're already being here is the schus of moving in that direction. Okay. So let's hold on the Rav Dessler piece for a minute. I think this is good. I think he just says it in really plain English. And then, okay, I'm going to get you a copy of that. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. In that direction. I mean, I don't have a pen or anything, so I can use it for listening.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Just to put it in plain English, and then we'll run back into the Svarim. It's just really nice to see people bring it down as like simple. This is from the top piece from a book called The Power of Intention. And what he's doing here is he's describing six, what he narrows down to six. You could break it down in any number of ways. It's just very nice the way he says it, which is that, what does this yeshus look like practically? Like lamaisa. Okay, great. We're having this conversation, and it's deep, and it's spiritual, and it's cosmic, and we want to get rid of this anochius, but like, Rabbi, we all have it. We all want to move in the right direction. What does it look like in my day-to-day? So this is very, very simple. And he breaks it down to ego is your identity with that which isn't you. I don't actually think he says those words, but you can quote me on that. It's a false sense of self. So when you... At the lowest level, right, and probably, I guess, the metaphor here is probably the Kardashians or something like that, where it's like, I am what I have, and so now I have to show that to the world, right? I am what I have, I am what I do, I am what others think of me. Those are probably the most basic, like, of the world. And hopefully we're somewhat beyond I am what I have. Right, but maybe not all of us. Maybe some of us have a special watch or a special shoe or a special something that like this defines me, right? But that is, for a child, that's really, really true. Because when they have like a toy or like anything, right, that's something like their pacifier, that they're so identified with it. If you were to take it away, it would be no different than you going over to someone's house and burning it down. That's all they have. Those are their haves. They identify with it so much. If you take a kid's thing away and they don't have very many things, right? They know that this isn't theirs. It's a space they live in. When you take that away, it's like you've just destroyed their reality as far as they're concerned.
It's also like this is how like consumer culture feeds on this.
The whole world feeds on this. Yeah. This is what the world is about.
If you have a klipa, okay, let's make money off that.
Exactly. Oh, you have an addiction, yeah. Right, to yourself. You need this too. Right. So, and that's truly it. That's truly it. So, when your possessions define you, when my achievements define you, when my reputation define you, and that's already 2 and 3 is already like, wait, isn't that us? Right. Like, you know, to some degree, that's still very true for most people. Right. Even very spiritual people. Right. Like, you know, people who are working down a path of trying to be more awake and more aware. I'm very, very concerned with what I do. Right. And what if I do something wrong? Does that make me a bad person? We spoke about this last week. Right. Do your doings define you? Does your actions, do they tell me about your essence? And most people, I would suggest, still live with, yes, my actions define who I am. And if I do good things, then I'm good. And if I do bad things, then I'm bad. Period. If I do the right things, then I'm... If I do smart things, then I'm smart. And if I do dumb things, then I'm dumb. There might be more element truth to that than there is to the essence of the I am-ness. That's why all of these start with I am, I am. How do you really identify with the essence of who you are? Right? I am what others think of me. Reputation, this is big. Why is all this so big? Obviously, before we even get to the bottom three, is that if we relate to ourselves as I am what I do, I am what others think of me, I am what I have, that is going to define the trajectory of your life. Because you care so much about what you do, because you are what you do. You care so much about what others think of you, so you may think, speak, say, do, act, live, do so many things, because what they think of me is who I am. I am is a level of importance that you give to something because you are associating your identity with the answer to whatever the I am is filled with, right? Mm-hmm. It's, I see kashas, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Should we do that? Should we pause halfway here and do you kashas on this?
Mine's going to be quicker than yours.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you're right.
Because these, I'll tell you, the first three, the way he has them written here, and again, this is like, it's somewhat arbitrary. I just like the way he breaks it down. The first three over here are more external than his second three. His second three are going to be already like becoming more elevated, mm-hmm. which hullaby that we've gotten through the first three in our life. Okay, yeah.
So this class, I missed this when we covered it a lot, but why is it like, from like a step back perspective, like why is it that this is our baseline? Meaning what, like what's the purpose behind that? Like it very well could have been that we were just created in, for example, a lot of more Eastern cultures have a much more collective outlook on the world. Than a lot more like modern Western culture. It's like, why is it that seemingly Hashem put it that that's our baseline, that we live in, from a baseline perspective, we compare ourselves, right? Are my doings enough? Why is it as opposed to like, yeah, they're enough, and like, now let me work.
Why did God create the world?
Two answers. Reveal Alakos in the world, I guess. Most of all.
So why didn't God just make the world where everything's revealed?
You have to work for that. So, I mean, so then one thing, so is the draw from that, so then therefore, by removing ourselves, by making us less us, so that it's essentially you're replicating Tzimtzum.
You are the Tzimtzum.
Got it.
Meaning that is what this is. Uh-huh. What this is a reality where you don't naturally see yourself as. You see, that's really these next three over here, but the starting point is we come into this world not just thinking that I am what I have, I am what I do. You only think those things because of the bottom three over here is you think you're separate from God, separate from everyone, separate from all that is, right? So it's that experience of separateness, which is the symptom, the perception that everything is broken apart. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity of reality is that elevation, is that evolution, is that growth, is that development. It's coming to the realization and then being able to experience, oh, we're all in this together, and I am not all of those things, but that's the growth. Mm-hmm. That's quite literally the purpose of the world. Mm-hmm. So that's why. Yeah.
But I understand that there's a deep, deep, deep part of my neshama, mm-hmm. right? Any neshama, that there's literally nothing you can do to touch. Nothing you can do to touch. It's always connected. It's always perfect.
Neshama shenasa to be tahorahi.
That's like the deepest, most inner sense of it. But then there's also, you know, the classic conversation, Rabbi Tass talks about it a lot. Like, what are you going to experience when you're over there is exactly who you become. Exactly the work you've done. Not what you were given, but what you did with what you were given. So to that extent, I think I am what I do. Granted, achievements is like a very Western word, but I am who I become. Like I am, like all the actions that I do over my life is not the source part of my neshama, but it is what I've made my external parts of my neshama become. That is
you're talking about your nefesh.
I guess so, or hopefully something even a little deeper than that. I hope it's not just... Yeah, all my actions only account to my nefesh. I hope they can touch a little more than my nefesh.
Maybe your ruach. Maybe, but it's like the nefesh of the ruach.
Wow. That's the only thing you could touch with all good deeds, with all beautiful mitzvahs and amazing things that I do. I can only touch my nefesh and my ruach.
Isn't that what you're trying to do?
I want to touch a little more.
What the little more is perfect.
Okay, fine. So even that, but that part of me, which also is me, is defined by what I do.
Well, it's not the essence of who you are. It's the opportunity of your life. Meaning, let me ask you. And this is the metaphor I like to use a lot, which is you see somebody, one of your good friends, really nice guy, really good guy, and he's just having a bad day. Really bad day. And by the end of that day, you're sitting down with him and some other person, and he just starts yelling at some waiter that you're with, and like he gets up and storms out of the room, and you look at them, and you're like, he's really not like that. Like, he's really a good guy. Like, this is like, he's not being himself. He's like really not being himself. That's not really him. We'd all say, you're a nice friend. You recognize, you know, who he usually is, right? Or who he generally is. And you're saying, like, oh, that's not really him. Then this person turns to you and says, we are what the hard situations reveal to us, right? You know, even if he's nice all the time, but that's when you really see who a person is, like in the challenge. Now I know when that's really who they are. So now we get stuck because they're both true. So which one is it? Is it, now I know who you really are? Or is it, that's not really you. That's not really you. Like 99% of the time, that's not you. Which one is it? Who are you?
One is nefesh, one is neshama, I guess. Like one is him, but just more an external version of himself. And one is... That's also not him.
One is revealing the positive and one is revealing the chaser.
So I understand it to mean that when you're in the challenge, that lets you know how far you are on your journey to... Not even on chisaron. That's a challenge... Lets you know how far you've gotten in your capacity to be mevarer, to be metakin the nefesh. That's how far along you are on your journey of being metakin the nefesh.
Okay.
It's a reflection of, well, where are you on a list of zero to infinity? How far up on that list are you in terms of tikkun amidos of this nefesh that you've been given down in this world, in this life, this personality, this lifetime? But the other 99% of the time, when there's no challenge, and you're more easily identified with a higher part of who you are, and the people next to you see that, you see like, I know this person's a good person. I know it. I see it. Now, even if you wouldn't know it, it would still be true. That's what he's saying. The I am-ness is, no, the good person, the value, the worthiness, the perfect neshama that you are, that's always true. That never changes. And then there's personality called Jacob Lusbader, right here, like, How mitukan is this personality?
From that thing coming out.
Right, and this is shining light the whole time saying like, oh, go this way, that way. You know, like trying to like, you know, send down glimpses of inspiration and sparks of, you know, the Leshem and the quotes of the Gra as saying your neshama is really like, it's your mazel. He calls it your guardian angel, your malach that's always trying to help you go this way, go that way. Like that's like the source of who you are, like trying to help you move in the right direction. And you're down here working on this nefesh, right? And this could get very complex based on all the different systems that we have, but I just want to make it super simple, right? Like that's what we're doing. You could, right, say that your personality is over here in the ruach, your neshama is always perfect, your nefesh is naturally inertia, wants to do all the things physical, and ruach says, am I going to relate up or am I going to relate down?
Okay.
That's the pashtus.
Yeah.
Right, but what are you fixing when you relate down? What when you relate up? In that case, you're trying to draw light down into your nefesh. That's what you. So the you, even if you're in the middle, you're trying to fix the thing down here. Tikkun Olam isn't about fixing a spiritual reality. It's about fixing a physical reality. You do that by going up and being metak, by connecting to the right things up here, so you can bring a flow down out in this world. But that's what we're doing here. So are you what you do? Well, not really. Are there consequences to what you do? Yes, but it's not who you are. Right? Like you may have to, you know.
Good. Oh my gosh. One second.
a person who does things that aren't good for themselves, right? So what is this concept of Gehenna? What is that? So it's a place where a person goes to refine those parts of themselves that didn't get it right. And then they go on to Gan Eden and Olam Haba and whatever it is. So it's not that there's no consequences to what I do, but it's not who you are. Because what we'll see is that we'll then burn all that stuff off and then you go weiter, right? Metaphorically, there's no fire.
Yeah. Okay, great. You look at it as concentric circles in a way. It's like one's the more outer shell and one is like the real inner part of you. I can't tell you're visual. Because you go like this body language.
It's both.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Matt?
So cool. Igulim and Yosha, I mean, that's a whole sugya, right? Meaning there are concentric circles and there's also the Yosha, the up and down.
So are Klipos only connected to the Nefesh part of yourself and then the Nefesh of the Ruach? And post that, there's nothing. So you should never ask Hashem to be Matari and Neshama. It's Matari and Nefesh.
Elokai, Neshama Shin Asatabi, Torahi.
Just
Torahi.
Okay.
It should make you feel good. You're Tahar.
No more Mikvah.
Huh? Yeah, your nefesh not tar. Guf not tar. Okay, so
really, Hashem, sorry, he bore the world, and it's essentially we live in a pure world because it's only like on the outer surface it looks like it's dirty on the nefesh level. Really, that all comes back to like right the main point. So really, everything is, you can say from there that everything is really Hashem is given to the good.
Yes.
Okay, great, perfect.
And translate that into Hashkacha, everything you just said.
Mm.
Everything on the surface looks like things aren't going well, but if you go underneath the surface, everything's just fine because Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Meaning that this paradigm is the all and every. It's chitzonius. That's really what we're talking about. Is there's a chitzonius to reality and there's a pnimius to reality. Mm. Like keeping things simple, right? Like if you're caught up in chitzonius, sometimes things look like they're going well and sometimes they look like they're going bad. Sometimes you feel good about yourself. Sometimes you feel bad about yourself. Sometimes you do the right thing. Sometimes you do the wrong thing. Right? Go inward and it's like, Shem loves you. Everything's okay. You're okay. Don't take this world too seriously. Right? Remember who you are and what you're doing here. You're always trying to do better. You're doing the best you can with the tools you have. You haven't been given all the right tools. The situations in your life weren't always perfect to set you up to be this other person that you're trying to be. Right? Like, oh, right. Take a deep breath. Everything's okay. Everything's okay. It doesn't mean that you're not in this world, right? This is the mistake. The mistake is, the world's an illusion. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, the world's an illusion, but if you jump off a cliff, you're going to die in this illusion. Begin that, right? Like, it's not denying the world. It's not saying the world is an illusion. It's saying that if you think the world is all there is, that's an illusion, right?
Great.
And then most basic is if you care more about what others think of you and you're defined by your actions and the things that you have, so you will be a slave to this world. Like, period. Because now your entire reality is going to reflect trying to make sure people think of you in a good way. Trying to get to a certain place, get to a certain thing, trying to achieve certain things. The beautiful thing is when you stop relating to that and you stop self-identifying with what others think of you, what your reputation is. So now you're free to be the person that you want to be. And what ends up being is you still want to do all the right things. It's not that you don't want to be a good person. It's not. Adaraba, we have a natural desire to reflect our neshama in this world. Right, the Ramchal opens up Das Tfunus with every person has a desire to connect to their source. That's your natural, like, you come from somewhere, everyone has a natural desire to return to that place. Now, this world can get pretty trippy and, like, messed up. And, like, you could get pulled away, right? Which is the purpose of the giving of the Torah, so that if you didn't have some direction, you don't hear your neshama all the time, right? So that is why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, well, let's give people directions for when a lot of the time they are so trapped up in all these things, they're going to go the wrong way. But if you were to drop those realities, Avram Avinu, what does it mean that Avram Avinu found the whole Torah from within? He kept the whole Torah. It's because when you don't have all this, you naturally find the path. Like, it is within you already. It's embedded in your Bria to move in the right direction and move towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you will do everything in your power to find the different things and actions to be mechazik, that kesher with Hashem. You that's the natural thing. The it's natural once you get beyond this, but mm-hmm. it's not natural if you are this.
So the fear is basically, let's say, I am what I have, right? So, yeah. And really, at the core of it is that I believe that that fear is what directs me to achieve whatever achievement I'm looking for. So we'll take it a little deeper. Yeah. So I am what people think of me, my reputation. So because I care about my reputation, I'm very sensitive around other people, and I make sure that I, you know, am on time for meetings, and I do da da da. That's what keeps me, you know, in check. So I can't get rid of that. If I get rid of the thing that makes me want to keep my reputation, then I'm going to fall.
And I'm not, that's what you're afraid of.
Right. And then, but you're saying once you do that, you're not going to fall, because within you, you're just going to come right back up.
Right. Because instead of being nice to the person next to you because of your reputation, you're being nice to the person next to you because you love them.
Right. But Mark.
Because when you drop fear, the what's left is love. Cool. Right. Because the avanira. Right. Those are the wings of the world.
So then why is it, if they're the wings of the world, what do you mean by when you drop one, you go to the other?
It's almost like the way the Maharal says it is. There's a medrash that says there are two people that work in this world, one who works from Yira and one who works from Ava. The person who works from, I think it's Hislashinus, the person who works from Ava gets 2,000 times the schar as the person who works from Yira. And why is that? And so his explanation over there is because you're more connected to the source of what the whole thing was about anyway, right? So we're not saying it's bad to work from Yira. We're just saying the difference in which, what is schar? Schar is connection to Hashem. So we're saying it's infinitely more your capacity to be connected to Hashem when you work from something that's more inner. He has it more like a circle, where it's like there's another metaphor he brings from the Gemara in Shabbos. No, it's not going to fit over here. Where there's a gate around a trust on the inside, and if you have the keys to the inside but you don't have the keys to the gate, then it doesn't help you that you have the keys to the treasure, because you don't have the keys to the outside over there. It's slightly different. But that's the metaphor we're looking at over here, is you can have the keys to the outside and not the keys to the inside, and that's still good.
Right.
That's fear.
Because it'll get you to the place you want to be, just from the wrong direction. Or maybe a lesser...
That's a great metaphor. Why don't we like that?
We don't like that because he says the keys to the outside are... Because the keys, what you're trying to get to is Yiras Hashem. Over here, and he doesn't speak about Ahava over there. That's why the metaphor is right, but the context of the Gemara is not what we're speaking about. I'm trying to think of the best way to bring this out. I don't want to overcomplicate things. We know that there's levels of Yira and levels of Ahava, right? So there's Yira, Ava, and then a higher Yira, and then a higher Ava, right? In the Ramchal, in the Masos Yisharim, he speaks about levels of Yira and levels of Ava, right? This is, everybody understands that there's a Yira Ila and a Yira Tata, there's an Ava Tata and Ava Ila, so we're always going kind of like in these steps. So are any of them bad? None of them are bad, right? We want to be growing, but the closer you get in, the more expansive you are. So I think... I say wings because I have the vision of Chesed over here and Gvura over here, right? And then you have Tiferes in the middle. But then when you line everything up, right, it's actually Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, right? So they are here, and we live with both, right? But the higher up you go, you're always going to find more Ava. So when you split, like the Das Tfunis understanding of when he tries to simplify reality, he says there's a hanhaga of mishpat and then a hanhaga of ahava and achdus, right? You guys been through Das Tfunis? So hanhaga mishpat is
din.
Then din's going to be yira and fear, right? And so that's always going to be the thing that you encounter first. Mm. And then whenever you go deeper, you're going to find, there's a shoresh to this. There's an ava over here. So whenever you can let go of your fears, you find more expansiveness. So the word love may not always resonate, but it's all about being, there's more than what I thought there was before. Or the thing that I thought was going to kill me is actually a net that's holding me up, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So that's basically the vision that we're always moving towards. Yeah. It's, again, it's not about dropping Yira and then saying, so this world doesn't matter and these things don't matter and nothing matters. It's not that, because you could do that, but then you will run yourself right out of your illusion, right? Because it's almost like if you get to a place where I don't care about my reputation anymore and you start doing a bunch of crazy things, like, what are you doing? Like, forget your reputation. Like, why are you doing all this crazy stuff? Because nothing matters. And this, like, you're right, nothing matters. But, like, don't, you're going to be here for, like, the next 70 years or so. Like, you can do whatever you want. But, like, you still have to, you're here. We're here. I think that's the Nakuta. Mm. So it's not about, it's not about throwing away your life. It's about recapturing it and being connected to the source of what life really is, so that as you go through this thing, you're not held back. You're not held back by the Anochius and the Aishus. That's going to drive you to certain places and certain things which are ultimately going to be inauthentic and not a reflection of the light that you're trying to bring to this world. Let's see his bottom three over here, because I think that's where, you know, the first three, which is where people live, are all because of the back three on how he has it set up, which is, I'm separate from everyone, I'm separate from everything missing in my life, and I'm separate from God, right? So this is really, if you start to think about the shoresh of Anochius, the shoresh of Yeshus, it's because practically you come into this world and you are in a vessel that is separate from everyone else. That's like the basic sense of separation is what my beard's on my face and your beard's on your face. And like, we're in separate bodies and like, that's it. He's being in number five when he says, I'm separate from all the things missing in my life. He means to say that we live in a world where there seems to be space between you and that which you desire, right? There's space. Right. So if I want that cup of water, I now have to get up and move towards it, or I have to ask someone to bring it to me. And then if I want something bigger, maybe I can't even get to it, right? Like, I want to own an island in the Caribbean. Like, well, good job, Moshe. Why do you even want something that's impossible? Like, we're separate from all of these things. So therefore, it's not just I'm separate from people. I'm separate from everything, right? There's like a true separateness. If I don't move towards it and I don't find a way to get to it, I don't have that. I don't have access to everything in the world.
That's true, though, no. I mean, clearly not, but it's I don't understand why not.
Together. And then, of course, at the deepest level, I'm separate from God, right? I'm separate from the source of my being, from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. All of that is at the deepest level, the reason why that drives all the things on the top, right? Because if you knew you were one with all that is, and that everything is okay, and that if you needed to get to something, it can get to you in a heartbeat, because you're connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu who can get to anything in a heartbeat, that can create everything, and that really there's no problems in this world, because in a moment you should be able to end all wars because you're one with God, and you know, like everything, and everything's happening for a reason, and we're really not separate, and we're all doing this together, like all the cells in a body that are working together to keep the body up, we're all working together as the cellular reality that is life, and that is the, you know. But if you're living there, so like, do you really care what people think about you? Do you really care about, like, are you really defined by the type of car you drive? Like, that's what defines you in your life. Are you really defined by whether or not you made it or didn't make it in a certain competition, or what age it took you to get to before you finished Shas Mishnayos? Like, is that, like, that's going to bother you? That you are part, you're a chelek elokol mimal. You are part of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's reflection in this world, right? We were talking yesterday. Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. We're all shluchim of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world, right? Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. You're like mamash, like God in this world. Like that. These are the things. So all of the things that bother most people in the world is because of the feeling of separateness down here. That, like, if you were to oversimplify this entire thing that we're talking about, is, if you knew that you could never die, would you ever not be at peace? Right? With eternal life comes eternal peace. Right? Because, like, even if things go wrong, like, you know, you're fine. You just continue on. And right? And that's true. That's actually true. And yet, everyone's walking around like a chick without a head, like stressed out about every little thing in their life. It's like, everything's okay. And if you do the wrong thing, and the person's going to get upset at you. And now you're like, oh, I'm such a bad person on this and that. And it's like, they're also gonna, they're gonna be fine. Like, give them like an hour. Wait till tomorrow. Like, they're gonna be fine. Like, we squash life into this little bit and then see everything as fragments. And so in this fragmented reality where we're all separate and we're limited on time and things, it's like, whoa, that's what, like, because the underlying, it's more than an emotion over here, what I'm describing, but this kind of existential fear that's built into our experience of feeling separate from God, feeling separate from life, feeling separate from people, that's what then creates this whole mental programming, which we then take as ourself, which is what we call the ego, right? And we go through life with that. And if you don't start to undo that, which is a programming that we got because we came into this world experiencing separateness, and then we're filled information from our parents and from our society and from everyone around us that corroborated this illusion, right? Of like, oh, right, everything's not okay and we are separate and everything's, you know, just physical and that's all there is. So if you don't start to move back in the other direction, you will end up in those top three, right? For sure, right? You have to be pretty spiritual to even be thinking about the bottom three, right? Like, who's walking around thinking about, I'm separate from everyone, I'm separate from God, I'm separate from... Like, you already have to be in, like, the self-help camp, like for a long time to even get to those. But I think most people walking around, and that includes all of us, is we are so gripped by what the world thinks of us. I would have added over here, when it says what others think of me, including what I think of me, right? If I were to add either a 3.5 on this list, it's I judge myself too, right? When it says I care what others think of me, what it really means to say is I care about the thoughts of me, which is false, because the thoughts of you have nothing to do with you. They're thoughts of you. So they're what others think of you, they're what you think of you, but those are just thoughts of who you are, not the truth of who you are. That's not your neshama, that's not the potential of your ruach, and it's certainly not how great your nefesh can be. It's just a thought of where you are now, or what you did. But when you're present and seeing what can be, right? So every moment there's opportunity for something better than there was before, right? So you're not locked into this thought system. So far, so good. I know this is deep. I just felt like he just put it in pretty simple words for us to be able to say, like, okay, we're going to say the words Anochi and Yeshus and a lot of things a lot in this series. So this just makes it really simple.
Yeah, it's
good. Are you identifying with possessions, with achievements, with reputation, and your own mental reputation? Like, that's like, okay, pretty straightforward. And the more we're doing that as being the epicenter of our identity, we're going to struggle. Because you are now going to make decisions based on that as opposed to the decisions on who you really are. Right? That's the shift. Fine. And then, of course, the bottom three are true. I just don't know if that's not what's bothering you most of the time. You're not bothered by the fact that you're in a separate body. Yeah? Okay, you're in one. It's the fact that you still believe that to be the wholeness of who you are that gives rise to the fear of death, fear of safety, fear of everything in your life, because alone, I'm alone, I'm separate, I'm alone. This is like with David Aaron. This is the whole purpose of life is to go from that experience of alone to all one. Right. And that's the MS. That's the shift. That's what we're doing. Okay. Yeah. Is that a question?
That was great. Yeah.
Okay. Now we saw last week the Baal Shem Tov that says Anochi Omed Bein Hashem Ubeinechem. Mm-hmm. Right, it's the eye that stands in between me and Hashem. That it's this. Einus, like Rav Volbi said, like Rav Dessler said, like everyone's going to say, the more that we're trapped up in the possessions of my life, the doings of my life, the reputation of my life, the body, the desires, and the experience of being separate from Hashem, the more that that's all going to be true in our life, we feel far from God, right? And it's going to be hard to feel that kesher. So he just says this, just so eloquently and so simply. So he says that, the identification with your mind creates an opaque screen of concepts, right? So just that this vision of an opaque screen of concepts is what the Baal Shem Tov and the Nesiv HaShalom meant when he said creates a mechitza, right? It was this wall that's mafsik between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is mafsik? Because nothing's really like what is it? He means like this is mafsik. Nothing can be mafsik between you and Hashem. So what is mafsik? What's the mechitza between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu?
Yourself.
So what does that mean, like Lamaisa, practically? Like, you want to get rid of the wall. What's the wall? How do I get rid of myself?
Right.
So, just poetically, an opaque screen of concepts, right? Labels, images, words, judgments, definitions that block the true relationship, right? This is what he's saying over here. That's what comes between you and yourself, right? Between you and your fellow man and woman, between you and your nature, between you and God, right?
This is like all talk. It's so funny. I was like,
it's straight. That's why I showed you the Nesiv HaShalom first, because it's basically the translation of this message, the power of now, which is unbelievable, right?
It's pretty impressive.
It is the screen of thoughts that creates the illusion of separateness, the illusion that there is a you and a totally separate other, right? So this experience of separateness comes from the fact that we took a lot of things to be true when we come into this world, and we create an agreement in our mind between what I know and what I believe about life, and we create this whole thing, which is why there are 7 billion different versions of this wall. Right, everyone has their screen of concepts that they go through this life with, and we're all on this journey of what are we going to do in this world with the wall that we've created. Some of it's been inherited, right? The DNA and genetics and all that. Some of it's from our parents, some of it's from our society, and some of it's from our mazel, and some of it's from just our traumas or lack thereof that we grew up and our experiences. And this creates this whole thing that we call Kenny. Right? Like an experience, like we have this wall. And this is all true, which throughout life, like some of the things get moved around. You're like, oh, I always thought this, but now I found out this is true. And we're growing and we're expanding, and which is great. So it says, you then forget the essential fact that underneath the level of physical appearances and separate forms, you're one with all that is. Right? This is like the ultimate, I forgot. Oops, I forgot I'm part of Hashem. I forgot everything is happening to plan. I forgot everything is okay. This big forget. By forget, I mean that you can no longer feel this oneness as the self-evident reality, right? And that's really a beautiful way of expressing it, because what he's talking about here is das. Das is your ability to feel something as true. You may get the chachma, the idea of something, or the bina, the understanding of something, but you don't yet feel it as true, and therefore, as far as he's concerned, right, we're still in the world of I forgot. Now, we're sitting here talking about the oneness, and the life is good, and this and the other, and then you're going to get out there, and you're going to bus, and something's going to happen, like, rah! And it's like, but you know, and it's like, yeah, but I forgot. I'm not, as long as I'm not living this as a self-evident reality, this is my truth. Right, so we're not there yet, which is what we've been speaking about all year, of like getting to this place of chachma, where it's like, it's now translated, right? Yeah. It went from a concept way up here that I'm experiencing it and I'm living with it, and that comes through das, right? It's when the chachma integrates with your das, you're like, this is what life is about. And that's what happens when you learn Musar, and when you work on your midos, and when you learn Torah, and when you're working on yourself, over time you're being mevarer your mind. Right, which is ultimately going to affect your heart, and that's going to affect your actions and the way you see everything. Like, that's what we're doing here. That's the tachlis. Torah's milashon or you're bringing that light into who you are. This is what happens to a lot of people in this next line. You may believe it to be true. There are a lot of things that you believe, right, conceptually, but you no longer know it to be true. Again, he's pulling you straight to das and saying, like, you need to know it. Right, a belief may be comforting, but only through your own experience, however, does it become liberating. Right. Which is why das is the lashon of geula, right? Right? Das is geula, right? All over the place. Yeah. I didn't bring it here, but next week we'll go sit and look at all the places where das is how you get geula, right? That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is das. He's the goel. It says the Medrash says that in La'asid Lavo, the name of Mashiach is going to be Moshe because he's das. Because you always need das to get to for geula. You need das for geula. Gala imi mibli das, right? My nation goes out to galus because they don't have das. It's a pasuk, right?
You're saying just from the experience of being saying that what I know to be true, I've experienced to be true.
Right. When you experience freedom to be true, you are free.
Right.
When you think about freedom, you are on the way, but you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So these two pieces together, like, really nicely puts it in a nice English package for us to say, this is when we say yeshus, anochius, ego. What we're saying is the identification with all these things, which includes my opinions and my thoughts and my words and my judgments as being the entirety of who I am. Right? And then when I say the word soul, you say, yeah, I believe I have a soul. It's like, yeah, but do you know you're a soul? Do you know that? And that's the shift we're looking for, to at least a little, you know, we're looking for cracks in the shell to let a little bit more light in. That's the purpose of all of this. You know, if we were to rip the shell off right now, you'd have blast out into outer space and like, ah! You know, we're not trying to rip the shell off of the person, but we're looking to create cracks in the shell so that more of that light can come through. So, and again, what's the purpose of all these hakdamas? The hakdamas are because then we're going to start looking at some other pieces around here which are going to state the lamaisa, like practically what we're doing. And once we're looking at the practical, it's like, this is what we're speaking about getting beyond when we're talking about a meditation or a certain thought or a certain piece in Chassidus or whatever it is that we're going to look at, right, in Piazetzna or the Baal Shem Tov or Rav Yisrael Salanter. When they're speaking about things and they say this big concept, or if we're looking at a piece in Kabbalah and it speaks about getting to Mochin de Godless, that's what we're talking about. Once we talk about Mochin de Godless, what is Katniss? You ever heard about Mochin de Katniss, Mochin de Godless? Mochin de Katniss is, I'm still in forget. Mochin de Godless is, I know, I now remember. Right, that's the shift. These are the shifts we're speaking about. We're going from I think I am what I have, what I do, and what others think of me, to like I could care less because I know who I am. That's a bechin of mochin de godless. That's what it means to experience a spark of your neshama. Right, when you get a bit of that radiance coming through, is that you're not embedded in this world as this is everything. I'm more connected to the sense of myself.
Sometimes you may not know that to be true at the moment. You intellectually, you know, you feel like it's there, but you don't 100%, like it doesn't 100% ring true with the transparency. That's when you have to have emunah.
Yes, that's emunas chabalelos. What is Laila? Laila, vayi erev, vayi boker. There's always erev before boker. There's always Laila before yom, right? And that whole inyan is, there's always the forgetting before the remembering, the lack of clarity before the clarity, mm-hmm. the tzimtzum before the kav, right? Mm-hmm. The slavery before redemption. I mean, we're going to see, this is life. This is the concept of Kadosh Baruch Hu creates the body before he puts the neshama in it, right? In this world, there's always the it's hide and go seek, right? There's always something hidden, and then we go find it, or it's something hidden, and then there's a revelation. That is the nature of reality. That's the yin and the yang. This is everything. So from when you get to, it's the interesting thing is when you get to the clarity, you don't, you say, ah, the darkness was good, so it's not really dark anymore. Mm-hmm. It was always light, right? That's what always happens is, oh, now I know I had to go through this thing. And then all of a sudden, the bad thing that you thought was bad this whole time is like, oh, that was needed to happen. It's the crucible that made me who I am. It's the, you know, all this stuff. So when it's dark, in the place of katnus, we see separation and we see there's dark and I want salvation. Once you realize that everything is okay and you get to that salvation, you realize there was never really any darkness. That was just there to create the stage for me to realize that it's all okay. So,
is that what Mara means? His explanation when Moshe forgets the way Hashem tells him to build the base and then Bitzal remembers? They're like, I don't know, I'm like forcing that a little bit. But they're like, meaning Moshe wanted to build the inside. All right, and then leave it and build the outside. Bitzal says, build the outside and then put the inside in first. Right, like that's
there. The reason for that is because Moshe is right. Always seeing things from up there.
Right,
he's not standing down here.
Right.
That's
not right.
Yes,
right.
That's exactly.
The way we're speaking about das here, it seems like that's the whole mission is to connect what we know to how we feel. But it seems like that's the highest level. Chochma means to get to das. That's like a very very high level. That's what we're going for. This is the ultimate. Like this is the ultimate goal. It's geula. But it's the thing that you expect. If somebody has no das, it's like, show no rachmin for them. This is like the hardest possible thing to get, or one of, and it's like, but if you have it, like you're not, it's nothing.
And if you don't have it.
If you don't have it, you're not, yeah, you're nothing. Like how?
Da kanisa ma chasarta, da chasarta ma kanisa. Right? If you have das, what do you lack? If you don't have das, what do you have? So what's your question?
So I'm trying to understand, it seems like it's the pinnacle, all the while, if you don't have it, like, we can't even relate to you. It's like, you don't say that about, if you're not an insanely huge Talmud Chacham, you're nothing. But if you don't have this ultimate quality called Das, you're nothing.
If I took away your shoes, would you feel like I destroyed part of yourself?
Probably feel okay.
If I stopped you from being able to finish something that you were working on. You'll be able to finish it later, but today you couldn't finish it. Would you feel like a destroyed part of the essence of who you are?
I always do about freak out.
If I went out there and I smeared your reputation, would you feel like I like really affected you deeply in your identity and like made it? Yeah, exactly. So, but you don't believe you're your shoes.
No.
So you're saying there are varying degrees of das.
Okay. So if you have no das, no rahman on you.
Can I? My kid's reaching for the matches. Do I let them have it?
No.
Why?
Okay, but doesn't he have? I mean, if he's 13, he should have das.
No. My baby's reaching for the matches.
Yeah, no das. Right.
No das. My wife is reaching for the matches. Should I help her?
Probably, yeah.
But does she have das Elohim?
Okay.
But she has some das.
Some das.
Right. So that Gemara is speaking about in reference to what you're giving them.
So you get the start. At 13, you get the start of it. Like, of the most important quality you could possibly get, you get the first start of it. Whereas something like Chachma, which is important but not at the level of das, that actually takes a longer time to get it, but there's not as much of a varying range of... Like, das is like you'd have very little or a lot. Huge range. That's why you start early and it's still the goal. Whereas Chachma is like, I guess, a little bit smaller window. That's why it comes later.
Not sure I'm following your metaphor.
Like, how is it that das is the highest thing, but you get it first? If it's something that you expect everybody to have.
No, but what is it? Das is the experience of Chachma. You're getting Chachma when you get Das. It's just what Chachma are you getting?
But you don't get Chachma until Bina's at 40, Chachma's later. Like
Right, so meaning the more full-on experience of those things, the higher, the most high... All those words are speaking about your relationship to Hashem, right? Okay. So you get more of that the older you get, the wiser you get, right, in that regard. But in terms of, there's basic das, like emotional intelligence, right? That's happening in your das, right? And some people are going to have more and some people are going to have less. And some people, like, that's going to be their cap. And, like, the goal isn't to try to get them to, you know, some prophetic experience, right?
Okay. Okay.
I'm not sure I fully followed the question. What I know is that in the essential question, which is from the Gemara of Asa L'Racham Al Mishayim Bo Das, right? The question is, how much Das do they have, and what are you trying to be Merachim with, right? Like, how much Rachmanas, and what's the thing you're trying to give them, right? If you give them something and they don't have the Das to be Makir Tov, right? So you're doing them a disservice, because now they're growing their ego, because they feel that they're entitled. So you're growing entitlement by giving someone something when they don't have the das to be makir tov.
Or else it's usser.
That's what I'm just saying. Usser, right by the ring.
Usser.
Yeah, I know, I have it like triple underlined in my glory.
Yeah. What's the highest level? What's the hardest thing to get? The highest level of chachma or the highest level of das? Be somebody who's like totally, totally integrated in terms of das, like, or fully in chachma. Integrated is the wrong word. Achieving or getting, attaining.
I think I'm now intuiting what you're trying to ask.
Yeah.
And they're both das, but you're asking about, when you're saying das and you're saying chachma, when you say chachma, you're talking about like a spiritual experience, and you're saying das, you're talking about human like interaction?
I guess just the concept. I'm just more so thinking the way we speak, conceptually in general, and we have certain time periods when you get them, and you'd assume that because it takes the longest to get chachma, chachma would be the highest. That's what you would assume. But
so what we're dealing with over there when you're talking about that, you have to show me, are you talking about the Mishnayos?
That's yes.
You get Bina at 40. And
yeah.
Like, so we're speaking about in terms of being able to get this, you know, God consciousness.
Okay.
Right? So there are levels of that. Like we said, you know, for like 6 months, that Chachma is the ability to reach all the way up and hit like the point where you are not concerned with this world. You're concerned only with the deeper reality. Yeah, that becomes your main concern in this world and your biggest identity. That takes more time to get to, right? But when you get there, you will only ever get it through your das. I think that's what we're missing over here is das is like the kli by which you experience everything.
Okay.
So when you're low level, so all the low level stuff is still experienced through your das.
Mm.
When you start getting higher level things, it then comes down into your das, right? And then higher things come down into your das, and then even higher things come down into your das. But you are here.
Got it.
Okay. That's why das is the adam sheba adam, right? That piece we saw in Ravobi. It's the atzmacha. So everything's happening through this place. It's what we call consciousness, right? So how expanded that is going up, or how limited that in is coming down. But it's all happening here.
Helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Good.
Baruch Hashem. Fine. Okay. Clear? This is good? This is helpful?
Great.
Geschma. Okay. What time do you guys have your next year?
11.
11? So you guys want to go for one more piece here?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Are we not doing Rav Dessler?
I think we should do the Rav Dessler. Yeah.
Where is this? Where is this?
This is, I have to go get it. I think it's in Chelek Dalet. I just don't remember what page it's on. I'll go get it for you. Okay, for the sake of, again, and I mentioned this might be premature on a few levels, but it's nice to put it down on the table. And we're going to go backwards here. So let's first see this bottom piece that says Dimyonos. Dimyonos means?
Imagine.
Or imagination.
Yeah, exactly. Like imaginations over here, illusions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that feels less real is what he's talking about. Your dimyon is like imagination, which is, I see it's real, but it's like, it's not my hand. Right? It's something that holds less weight in how I look at it in terms of reality. How real is something? So a dimyon is, if I say, you say, oh, I want to be, you know, I don't know, some dream kid. I want to, you know, Kenny wakes up one day and he says, I figured out what my life purpose is. I want to go play for the Chicago Bulls. And we say, Kenny, it's a dimyon. It's a dream, it's an illusion, it's not reality. Keep working on your tier of sherm. Maybe on the, I don't know, we'll figure out a good team for you.
Thanks.
So, what, which if you tell me that you want to play for the Bulls, we can have a private conversation about it later. So.
Maybe.
I know some people.
Yeah,
I can't help you. Minakudas Reus HaChushim, from the vantage point of seeing the world through the five senses. Hamachshava hi dimyon, thought feels like an illusion. Because what is real to you, something, anything that I could feel, I smell, taste, touch, anything through my senses. So if I see life through the perspective or perception of what is real is that which I use my five senses for. So anything that is a thought form, that to me feels like an illusion, that's not as real to me. Menekudas ru'us hapnimius. When I start to experience the I am-ness of my life and the reality of life from the inner world, not just from my five senses, Hakaras HaChushim Hi Dimyon, I start to see that which is experienced through the five senses, that to me is less real than what I know to be true on the inside. So the more das you have, the less you're concerned with what happens out in the world of the five senses.
Chushim means like emotions?
No, chush, he literally means the chamisha chushim, the senses. Five senses.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, if we stopped here, that would be Dayenu. Yeah? Yeah. So we go through life, and normally what is real, that which I can see, feel, taste, touch, that's real. And everything else is like, yeah, but Rabbi, that's not real. That's still a concept. So he says, that's true. That means you're still seeing things through those senses. When you become like multisensory and you start seeing things through a deeper reality, through the bittul of the anochius and the yeshus of seeing, I like this is his, what we saw before.
And Gersh is not a Talmud. Maybe a Talmud. 10:45,
we said, no, you start early
today? Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. We started at 9:30 today. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Mishila, I'm so sorry I'm dropping.
Okay, no, I don't have it. Shalom,
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, no, we should be in touch. We switched it over.
Okay.
Last week, we switched over from 10:45 to 9:30.
Okay.
My apologies.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, come sit. We'll speak. We'll finish in a few minutes.
Okay.
We'll speak for a few minutes afterwards. Come sit.
Okay, sure.
Morning.
So, this is the first level jump that we're looking at, is am I and is life I don't have another one. We'll make a copy. Am I and is life everything that I experience through the five chushim? And that's it. Just the five senses. And there's nothing more. And everything else is like, Olam Haba is a concept. And your soul is a concept. And all these spiritual things, they're just conceptual. And then they're seeing life through that more inner experience. And that's when the awareness of everything that's happening out there starts to become more like a dimyon. Right? We'll do the next two, and this is what I mean by premature, but we'll throw it out there just so you understand this kind of like the direction we're going in. And then when we speak about people like Moshe Rabbeinu and Avram and David HaMelech, we speak about, like, they're holding on the down here part of the spectrum, right? And so just to give you an understanding of, like, that's at the top when we speak about the Nevi'im and the people who lived before us. Okay, so then there's Minikudas Ru'us Klalia Sabriya. When you see the world through the perception that the whole world is one, right? I've heard this phrase before in all your modern New Age stuff of like oneness and we're all one and the collective. Klalia Sabriya is, I see myself as just part of the collective. I don't even identify as a separate unit, but it's all one. Then hapnimius hapratis hi dimyon, my internal individuality starts to feel like a dimyon, because I realize I'm just part of the Bria.
That's what we've been talking about.
Right? Huh? That's like already like very, very deep, but yes, you don't even, and I've had experiences like that before where it's like, it's otherworldly. It's like the love you feel is on a completely different scale than you could possibly imagine without any sort of external inducing things, is what I was trying to say. I'm talking about from meditation. Yeah. And then this deep level, right, which we're going to get to practically probably next week in terms of seeing inside, Minikudas Ru'us Hisbatlus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you get to the place where the only thing you see is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Enon Milvado, HaBriya HaKlalis HaMe'ucheres HiDimyon, the whole collective unity of reality, that's when you start to realize, oh, this whole thing's a dimyon, that's the only thing that's real, right? So these are the levels of going from how we perceive life now to what's possible, right? And Rav Dessler is putting it on the table as, this is, it's not that one is a dimyon and one is not. It's that there, what becomes a dimyon for you shifts based on where you're holding in your own personal state of consciousness, right? So from here, so all the spiritual stuff is like, that's the dimyon. But the deeper you go in and the more you work on yourself, the less real things become, because you're connected to something that's vastly and more deeply more real, right? And from there, you taka start taking things less seriously, because like that's not the thing that really matters. This is the thing that really matters, and all that matters is being able to bring that out into the world in whatever way that I can, right? So obviously this bottom one, right, of there's only God, there's nothing else, if you're not really at any of these places and you're just using your mind as like a you're like, really, I see the world through my five senses, but you're like, Eno Milvado, Eno Milvado, there's only God, and you keep walking and doing that, then, aside from ending up looking strange, because you have a paper on your face, you're also not living real, you're also not in reality, you're actually like in a worse reality to some degree, because you don't see it that way, you're covering up your face, and when you cover up your face, what don't you see? Everything. So that's when people start getting delusional, because there's a difference between illusion and delusion. Yeah, when you realize something's an illusion, that's a good thing, because you realize that's not real. When you try to make yourself believe something that you don't believe, you start becoming delusional. That's not real. You're not in alignment with the truth of what that is.
Fake it till you make it.
So I don't know how. I more like feel it till you reel it. Yeah, that's like, we have to move in that direction, right? We fake it till you make it could sometimes, depending on what a person means when they say fake it, could be helpful. If they do it the wrong way, some things are of the most destructive things you can do for yourself, because you are faking something as you go through your life, and it's not real for you, and you're not being real with life. It's destructive. So this is a nice way to end off over here. Like that, these are like kind of the levels of where we're going, and then we'll look at some other pieces next week to kind of open that up.
Amazing. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you,
Rav.
Hey, guys. Sivan, everyone meets Sivan. Sivan is a wonderful friend, many years here in Eretz Yisrael. Lives up the block, or block and a half. That way. And I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were planning on coming this week, and had you told me, I would have sent you the message, and we... We have shifted time slots for now.
That's my audition. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for earlier.
Yeah, well, thank you. Pleasure.
Can I take a picture of the girl?
Yeah.
I have Rogue Free Lobby.
I know, I just forgot where the Pusik was.
Oh, it was of actual place.
Can I see that?
Did you drive?
Yes.
Are you driving the Rogue Free
Lobby? Yeah, I don't know who you're looking at.
Oh, no,
so,
okay.
I can drop you off.
No. It's this piece here.
This one right here. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Amazing. Thank you. By the way, Monday work?
I can add it later. I have to look at schedule. Monday doesn't. Monday doesn't work. I know I have something. It could be. It's either. It's like going to be Sunday. I know this week is like packing insane for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think Sunday should be fine. We'll touch base.
Exactly. I was going to say let's talk about it and we'll make it work.
Okay.
I didn't know you came out with another one.
What is that?
I had no idea.
I've never seen it. Yeah, 2 years ago. Three years ago. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh,
good morning.
Shabbos.
Is this your stuff or is this Jacob's stuff?
No.
Thank you, Robinson.
Shabbos.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Baruch Hashem. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
I didn't know. It was for 6 months at 10:45.
Okay.
Literally last week they changed it to 9:30.
Okay.
They have another shiur now with somebody else at 11. So
we go
from 9:45, and then they go to Rebbe Gershon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maral?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we're moving to the sugis of Chachma. I'm happy to make you a copy of all the things that we did till now. But
I can't, 9:30, I can't. I was sure ready from 9 to 10:15. I think I was having anything with my perfect.
It's very possible that it's just for the summer, and then we'll switch back.
So. Okay. Fine. I really enjoyed that night, by the way.
Yeah, that was great. We'll do more of this.
Yeah.
Helpful?
Amazing. All across the board. Beginning with that, just kind of iron you. And,
yeah. I should get you one day. You should see that piece. I know it's you guys are just going through the Gura, not the Gura piece. I gave that to Kenny. The other one in the Tale Chaim in the Nesira. That's where like he just like brings this whole sugi down so crystal clear.
On Bishis also, the same for I was asking about this.
Nope. It's in Shmos. It's on Purim because Purim also has to do with Achron Nesira Panu. It's that same sugi over there. So that's where he goes to town. He brings all the things. Like everybody, like and super clearly just explains it in like 5 or 6 pages. You know, for a person who's never really seen the concept before, and then he gives all these mashalim. Really nice. So I think you get it all from this maral, but.
No, I'm gonna remember. I'll remember that.
Okay.
Thank you, Ali.
Okay.
We're good chance.
Good chance. Apologies. I'm honest with God. And we spoke about it, I don't know when it was, like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
And then they asked to switch the time clock thing.
Okay. Do you have another copy of
what?
Do you have another copy of your.
Yeah, actually, I just want to.